Well, brethren, what a wonderful day we've had. And we're going to carry on with Brother Russ as he had his theme of how much love the Heavenly Father had and through his Son, Jesus, who totally wanted to do the will of the Father and gave us this wonderful opportunity opening that new living way. And, you know, brethren, I hope you feel loved today. We were looking forward so much to having you here in person. You know, we had our elbow, what do you call them, elbow bumps and our fist bumps ready. And, you know, I even had, if some were willing, to do some hugs. And, but, you know, the Lord provided. And if you're not feeling loved yet by some of these beautiful discourses and thoughts that have been expressed, we hope that we can convince you of how the Heavenly Father loved you, loved his Son, not just so much that he wanted to have this beautiful heavenly family. And I think hopefully we can prove that to you. And, you know, one of the things that maybe this will give you a hint of where we're going. Exodus 3:2, it said, "And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush." That was the burning bush. He chose a bush. Now that could have been flaming rocks. He could have stirred up a whirlwind. Remember, there was a pillar of fire but he chose a bush to show this. And in Exodus 15:25, it says, "And Jehovah showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet." And you remember this. They were about 3 or 4 days' journey into the wilderness, and the water was bitter. And by putting this tree in, it sweetened them up. And we know what a beautiful picture that is of how that law covenant, as it should have been life to them, but they couldn't live the law perfectly. And it took this picture of our Lord sending his Son, become flesh, gave everything up. What love is shown there. And now the waters are sweet because the ransom's paid. And best of all is that it opened a new and living way, because he intended that there would be those that would be with him, that would teach this creation. And in Luke 19:17, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And we know whenever we hear that number 10, we have to look for a connection with the earth. That's our inheritance, if faithful. Obadiah 1:21. "And saviors will come on Mount Zion." Hebrews 11:6. And I'm doing this purposely. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What a wonderful opportunity that we have, brethren, that's been set before us with such great love and great help, if we're faithful to be in that heavenly family and the heavenly host, to bring this creation back to one with the Heavenly Father, to teach them how much love he absolutely had for them. And brethren, as we know, the Lord's unchangeable. These are precious promises, and we want to stand on these promises and these assurities. So join in singing hymn, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God.
And brethren, when we look at the ark, and we look at the table of showbread, and we look at the incense altar, the posts, even those the poles that held the walls, supported the walls, were all made from this acacia wood, covered in gold. And many of these, all of these pieces were used by the priests, represented by those who have made that covenant by sacrifice to the Lord in the tabernacle picture for us. And we see that the Lord again, He's using a tree, a specific tree of this acacia wood. And so we're looking at this, and we know our Lord was, when he was comparing and telling the people, why are you worrying about your food? Why are you worrying about your raiment? And he talked about the lilies of the field. So our Lord loved the nature, and there were so many beautiful pictures that are brought out. And we think, brethren, and to get to our title of our Vesper service here, that the Lord has blessed us and he's given a gift to the new creation. The flax plant, a gift to the new creation. We believe, and we're looking at the characteristics of the flax plant, that it unbelievably shows the new creation, the new creature. So we would thought we'd go through some of that with you. And, you know, specifically as we considered John 17:26, I told them what you are like, and I will tell them even more, that the love that you have for me will become part of them, and I will be one with them. What he's telling them about the Heavenly Father, telling us, is about his character, his greatness, his goodness, his love, his benefit, benefactions. Christ's work is not to purchase the Father's love, but to manifest it in proportion as we love God. He dwells in us, and that same proportion we'll have a responsive love, which will delight to do those things pleasing to our Father and acceptable to our Lord. You know, when you look at the flax field, I remember speaking with Sister Claudia about this, Claudia Trezak, and she said, you know, when they would travel up to Canada, you would pass these miles and miles of flax fields, and they look like water. It looked like this beautiful sea of blue. And when she mentioned that to me, I started looking for photos like that, and I found these, and I thought, wow, how impressive that really is. That calming blue sea. And isn't the bride going to say, come and partake of these waters of truth? And it'll be calming waters. There's no more stirred up masses anymore. What a beautiful picture is represented there. And as we look further, flax, how does it represent the new creation? Well, when it's harvested, it needs to be plucked up from the earth. You can't just whack it because you'll break the fibers, and they're very delicate. And remember, flax is used to make linen. And we know, as we get into linen, we know certain features of linen, how important they are in God's plan and what they represent. But this picture of being plucked up could symbolize for us that, you know, precious in the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:5, right? And be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so we thought that these were some beautiful pictures that, again, show us what's happening with this new creation. And we thought that as we can ponder our walk, our Christian walk, that we must remember that we have to get rid. It is that beautiful vow songs tells us, rid me of my fleshly imperfections, make me more like thee. And we want to hear that well done. We want to be fitted for service above. And we know that each one that has named the name of Christ must pass beyond the veil, but we must be ready. And we ever have to be mindful to touch lightly. You know, as Brother Mark in his discourse today expressed to us, that there are things that are going on that could make us so angry and upset and focus us, distract us from our goal. But when Jesus, what did he say? When you see these things, look up and know that salvation is nigh at hand. So why don't we remember that this world is not our home, brethren? We have a higher home, a beautiful home that's of the riches we are untold, and we cannot fathom what this glory, honor, and immortality means. So join us in singing, "This World Is Not My Own."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
When the flax is harvested, it's strung together, and it's in long sheets, as you can see. They bind them together, and they can't do much with it. This is a very stiff plant. Those of you who are familiar with the flax plant. So they soak it in many places, in rivers, ponds even, and they submerge it. And this submerging in the water allows the outside of the flax stem to soften, and so they can get to the inner part of that. And as the farmer pushes these down, because this crop is very precious. It needs to be, every single stem is important. It has to be softened and it has to be careful. And he places it to make sure, as you can see here. Aren't we fortunate how the Heavenly Father does that? I picture this farmer as our Lord, making sure that we have to have the experiences that are needful to get rid of the flesh, and help us to be ready for that spiritual birth, to burn that flesh up. We've given up our life rights, and we have to give up these characteristic carnal nature. The human body loves, it was made for the earth. So obviously it wants to stay here, but not the new creation. And the Lord is using these experiences to get that mind away from the earth and look heavenward and to trust Him. He maketh the storm a calm. This is from October 16th, manna. We of today represent the Lord's cause in the midst of the raging elements of human passions and oppositions. Our hearts would be at times dismayed, except as faith is able to see the Lord with us in the ship and able to grasp the thought of his almighty power in his own time and way to speak peace to the world. It must not surprise us, however, if a dark hour is before us, if the time shall come when the stormy winds will be so fierce that many will cry out in fear and trembling. Let us learn well the precious experiences of the present time, so that then our faith shall not fail us, so that in the darkest hour we shall be able to sing and to rejoice in him who loved us and bought us with his own precious blood, and to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. If we can just trust in the Heavenly Father, he will help us, brethren. First Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Remember, the Heavenly Father is supervising. He brings the rain, but he doesn't allow it to come so hard to crush us, right? And to destroy those flowers. So we have to learn to lean on him, brethren, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
So, brethren, the stalk looks something like this from this graphic above. And you can see the inside are those beautiful fibers that are soft. That's what the farmers are trying to get to get rid of that hard stalk on the outside to the shell, to get to that inner beautiful fiber that can be woven into this wonderful material that is comfortable. That is also what's inside this plant. We also have the flax seed. And that flax seed contains oils, and it can be ground up as well and used to lower blood pressure, help with diabetes, a lot of heart remedies. And I thought how wonderful that is, how the world of mankind, remember the Lord says, I will take this stony heart out and give them a heart of flesh. And the church will have that wonderful opportunity, having had all these experiences, these fiery trials as it were, to teach them how to have the victory. Now they can teach the world to overcome those faults and those fleshly desires to help them stand their test when they're ready. And so the oils, you know, when you think about the flax oil, it when you put, you know, this is also the flax plant, the linseed oil, and they coat wood with this. And when you coat the wood, now it can be outside in the elements, and it can hold up. It also gives it a nice sheen, and it makes it look so beautiful and glistening, and brings out the luster of the wood. Isn't that wonderful? What's going to happen in the world of mankind once they get closer to perfection? They're going to reflect that Heavenly Father's image again, as He said to His Son, "Let us make man in our own image." How beautiful that will be! And this flax material, you can see, is it once it's spun and woven, it's used as the wicks in the lamps to keep lighted. And won't that be wonderful? How the church, the bride, is going to be giving that beautiful, pure truth, that light, that they can walk in the right way. And there won't be any kind of stumbling stones or stumbling blocks. And one of the other things that we see when this fiber all of a sudden turns from this stiff material into this beautiful, wonderful strands that can be woven now and used and made and fitted for that wonderful white linen robes that are to be worn by the church, by the bride, when she is successful. You know, brethren, these plants, they stand tall. But, you know, it's not a pride. And we purposely, when we get back to this Hebrews 11:6 verse, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." This stalk, standing straight and firm, is the faith, never yielding, standing on that firm foundation of the ransom and all of God's promises, that it will stand tall and straight. So it's a very different picture that we get from the wheat and the tares, isn't it? And this beautiful blue flower that stands atop. But, you know, the church must follow the Master. You know, there were things that we had talked about that it's let us always remember, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye were bought with a price. So glorify God therefore in your body." And this means holiness in the most absolute and comprehensive sense of the word. Not only separation from sin to righteousness, but separation from self to the will of God in Christ. Our perfection and acceptance with the Father will be demonstrated by our loyalty of heart and the fullness and thoroughness with which we submit all of our divine will. And it's obedience. Remember, the test is always obedience. And we must trust in the Lord, have this strong faith, continue in the faith of these wonderful promises, and obey the Father. So we must trust and obey, brethren.
Trust and obey, for there's no
Oh, dear brethren, time fleets from us. You know, I wanted to make sure we brought in the flower. Here we see the five blue flowers. Can you see a little bit of purple in there? It didn't translate too well. I was hoping it would be a little better. But look at that. Doesn't that look like a crown in the middle? And, you know, whenever we see the number five in Scripture, you know, as those five golden posts going into the holy, right? And we have the five poles that hold the walls together. And even so many different pictures of the number five representing the new creation. So here there's five petals on this flax flower, which looks like a beautiful purple in there for the royalty and the crown of life that's offered to us if faithful. Revelations 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. But we must resist unto death. We resist unto blood, as Paul puts it in Hebrews 12:4. And as we said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:5. How do we honor our Heavenly Father and praise him? By using our bodies and all that we do to God's praise and glory. By consecrating our lives and our bodies to totally in his service. So I hope that we're giving you a beautiful picture of this plant. In the little short time that we had, we wanted you to know, if you didn't feel loved by the Father, look at what he's done. This is one of the oldest crops, one of the oldest plants that used and has so many features of restoring health, that lights for used for lighting, used for clothing. And you know, it said the man who wore the linen, that was a synonym for the priest. And what a beautiful picture we have been given to us. And we're going to move along because we're running out of time. But, you know, brethren, some of the beautiful pictures here of this flax plant is the leaves for healing, the oil for preserving, the restoring of the heart, and being the light for mankind. John 3:17, for God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that but that the world should be saved through him. That was the whole purpose of this, and what a wonderful opportunity do we have to be part of that wonderful reunion and bringing mankind back to the Heavenly Father. And if faithful, brethren, the bride will wear that wonderful white raiment. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. How wonderful that is. No longer the imputed righteousness of Christ's robes, but will have gained the glory, honor, and immortality to stand and be light-bearing, be a creature solely for the purpose of blessing. What a wonderful privilege we have, brethren. So brethren, let us remember that we are loved, and the Heavenly Father has put so much into this plan. And it is so deep, and all will be satisfied when they know the depths of it. October 28th, Songs of the Night. Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalm 141:2. At the close of each day, let us square our day's account with the Lord at his throne of grace, recounting, so far as we're able, its opportunities used and neglected, its victories won or its defeats, its self-sacrifices and its selfishness, thanking God for the grace to help in time of need, apologizing for all our errors and defeats, craving forgiveness in the name and merit of our Savior, and promising greater faithfulness and zeal by the Lord's grace the next day. Brethren, we have, if Brother Rick will indulge us, there's just one last hymn here. Take time to be holy. We must meditate upon the Lord and his word and look for those opportunities to continue looking up as we see the things, this present evil world falling away and the hatred of man, every man's hand against his neighbor, knowing that it is to bring about that wonderful joy in the morning of a righteous rule. Brethren, take time to be holy, and we'll conclude with that hymn.
To be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct,
blessing, brethren.